This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
And speaking of other good stuff, Chris Graham is the founder and editor of the Augusta Free Press online at augustafreepress.com. He joins us on the long line over the mountain from his office in Waynesboro. How are you, sir?
I'm great, Coy. How are you?
Very good. Was Santa good to you?
Pretty good, yeah. I can't complain. And, you know, the days off that Santa gave me from the news cycles of the last few days was the best part of it.
That's even better.
Yeah.
Hey, Chris, we got a Wii. Have you ever heard of one of those?
Yes, I'm attempting to get my hands on one. You know, I'm jealous. My nieces got one for Christmas.
It is so cool.
That's can't the only to way get away with that.
It's the only way to describe it. It is so cool. I mean, it really is so much fun. I mean, my 7-year-old daughter all of a sudden is the best bowler in the family.
I'm told that I have to work on my boxing prowess to be able to compete with the nieces. I have twin nieces who are 10 who are apparently pretty good at boxing. So.
Yeah, you hold a little thing in both hands, and it knows how your hands are moving, and you can actually sit there and box. Right?
Hey, here's a novel concept too. It's a video game, and it makes us get off our butts and do something. So that's pretty good too.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, and that boxing game is tough. I mean, I was panting, you know, because it makes you move around and jab, and it's really something. Speaking of some jabs, there were some this year in the political scene in Virginia, and you have compiled, if I'm not mistaken, a top 10 list of the political news items from here in Virginia of the year 2008. Is that right?
That's right. Pretty busy year, obviously, with a presidential election, a Senate election keeping us busy, and some congressional upsets right here in our backyard. And I started off at number 10, Mark Warner winning convincingly. You know, in any other year, Mark Warner or any Democrat or any candidate in general getting 63% of the vote in a statewide Senate race would be, you know, much closer to the top, if not the top story of the year. But especially when you consider that the other side of that race was another former governor. But this getting in at number 10, just because I think a lot of us thought that Mark Warner would do well in that race, maybe win that convincingly, or even a little more so in some people's minds. But I think still in the end, 63% of the vote for a Senate candidate in a state that's been pretty close electorally the last several years. That's a pretty big story, so we'll stick that at number 10.
Absolutely, that is big. And you know what also puts that on the top 10 list, Mark Warner's win? Even though we all sort of knew that he was the very likely winner, and as you say, won by, you know, 63%, Virginia gives Virginia two Democrat senators. Senators, and it's been a long time since there's been two Democrats in Washington.
Yeah, since the Byrd era, I would assume, at least since before John Warner in 78 won that election. So, you know, 30 years, and that's a long time politically. That's a couple of generations right there. I mean, I was 6 years old the last time Virginia had two. that's been a while.
We're talking with Chris Graham of the Augusta Free Press. We're counting down the top 10 political news stories here from Virginia in the year 2008. And now, number 9.
I stuck at number 9, Tim Cuccinelli, one of the candidates for the Republican Attorney General nomination. I did an interview with him earlier this year, just talking generally about his campaign. And, yeah, I didn't even realize when we were talking, I went back and was doing notes from this audio interview, I realized at one point he was talking about how I'm calling it attorney general nullification, where I think the quote here is, let's see, he would tend to interpret the law in a way that's the least expansive and would have the most tendency to rein in government activity without completely handicapping agencies from performing their functions and their role. And, you know, my question about that is, it sounds like there's somebody angling to be maybe above the governor in a sense. If Ken Cuccinelli is attorney general, that sounds like he's trying to redefine that role of attorney general. You know, here in Virginia, we've been rather traditional over the years with how we approach things. I know I remember asking Bob McDonnell and Cree Deeds both when they were running for attorney general in 2005 at the height of Elliot Spitzer, who was then the New York attorney general's reign of terror on Wall Street, you know, the way he was using that attorney general's office to really get at Wall Street. You know, would you guys, you know, favor doing the same kind of thing in Virginia, you know, really making that attorney general's job an activist job? Oh, no, you know, across the board, no, there's no way. You know, the attorney general's role is pretty defined. And Ken's got some different ideas there, so I think that's something to look forward to next year, maybe.
And, Chris, for the listeners here in Central Virginia who don't know who Ken Cuccinelli is.
Oh, yes.
Can you do a quick introduction?
In addition to running, he's one of the candidates for the Republican Attorney General's nomination, which will be decided at a party convention in June. He's also a state senator from Northern Virginia who, in 2007, won his reelection by, I think it was about 100 votes or so. He had actually had to go to a recount process. He beat a Democrat named Janet Olazek, who gave him a run for his money, to say the least, in 2007. And he's a Northern Virginia member of the state Senate, very conservative, and he'll be running against at least a couple of guys for that Republican nomination. One of them, John Brownlee, a former federal prosecutor from down in the Roanoke area. I think Ken probably goes into this year as into this next year as the favorite for that race in that race. But in particular, because it's a party convention, it's going to decide who the nominee is, and you would think a social conservative would have a stronger base within the party to win a convention. Maybe a primary is a little more open, but Ken is he's been out there. He's been a boon to conservatives and the bane of existence for a lot of liberal Democrats in Virginia over the years with his really strong stances on the issues.
We're talking with Chris Graham of the Augusta Free Press, and I agree with you. I think the Republicans getting their nominees to a convention is definitely going to tend to favor the more socially conservative among them. If it was a primary, I would put my money on John Brownlee. I think he would, once he gets known more statewide, I think he would be a great candidate, but I don't think he stands much of a chance at a convention.
Yeah, I agree, actually, with that assessment, too, that Brownlee is probably the better candidate for November for that party. He's someone with credentials in law and order. He's a former U.S. attorney down in the Roanoke area. His focus the last few years was on a gang prosecution, so he's got great credentials and would be an excellent November candidate, but it's going to be tough for someone like him who doesn't. This will be his first run in political office to build up the kind of base. At least you'd think. I mean, at this point, it looks like it'd be tough for him to build up that kind of base. Whereas a Ken Cuccinelli, who's been running politics and political campaigns for years, would seem to have a natural advantage. But I think Brownlee could be a favorite heading into November if he were to somehow get that nomination.
Yeah, and now. The number eight top political news story from Virginia in 2008.
Dick Cranwell stays on the sidelines. He was Dick Cranwell, the former state delegate from down in the Roanoke area, now the Democratic Party of Virginia chair. He is going to stay on the sidelines. He had been talking about running for the lieutenant governor nomination on the Democratic side in 2009. That's going to be decided in a primary, so that is a more open process, more wide open process, too, for Democrats. The two announced candidates in that race are Jody Wagner, the former Secretary of Finance under Tim Kaine, and also a guy named John Bauerbank, who is a first-year, first-term member of the Russell County Board of Supervisors, but he's also known as an energy industry magnate. He's a multimillionaire energy businessman down in Southwest Virginia. So that's an interesting race in and of itself. But I don't think either one of those necessarily is a favorite right now. So Cranwell could have really added an extra mix to this race, to say the least, something to the mix in this race, to say the least. But he decided after Thanksgiving that he was not going to jump in and take this challenge on. So that leaves it with a couple of rather virtual political unknowns in Jody Wagner and John Bauerbank.
Although I would give it to Jody Wagner.
I would say she's probably the favorite right now.
Yeah.
She does have more name cachet, but this is a primary, and so she's building up a pretty good team. Bauerbank got in the race a lot earlier than she did. I think we knew it's still 2008. Earlier this year, we knew she was going to be getting in the race, but Bauerbank has been building up a campaign team really since the beginning of the year, and he's going to bring some money to this race. There's no question about that. If he just brings his own personal money to this race, he'll be able to compete with her dollar for dollar, if not make her work a little hard to raise money. And so from that perspective, it could be closer than some people expect, I think.
We're talking with Chris Graham of the Augusta Free Press, online at AugustaFreePress.com. And, of course, we're talking about the race for the Democratic nomination for lieutenant governor. Virginia, of course, will choose governor, attorney general, and lieutenant governor, and all 100 seats in the House of Delegates in 2009, November of 2009. And whoever gets a Democratic nomination for the lieutenant governor spot will run against Bill Bowling, who's running for his same seat again.
Yeah, we'll be talking about that a little later. We can skip ahead now if you'd like.
Well, let's stay in order.
Let's stay in order. So I gave you a sneak preview there.
Yeah.
Moving to number seven, as I was talking about money in that lieutenant governor's race, Terry McAuliffe is a number seven story. And that's all I said was Terry McAuliffe.
Yeah.
He's not officially in the Democratic governor's race yet, but everybody's saying he is. And I've talked with him, and it sounds like to me when I talk with him that he's very much in the race. I think January 7th is the date that he's picked for whatever announcement he's going to make as far as that goes. The former Democratic National Committee chair, former Clinton confidant, reputed for his fundraising prowess over the years with the Clintons and with the DNC. And he's talking about, I mean, I've heard the number $60 million in terms of money raised for this gubernatorial race, which would more than double what Tim Kaine and Jerry Kilgore spent on their individual campaigns in 2005, which that itself, I think, doubled or slightly more than doubled what Mark Warner and Mark Early spent in 2001. So we're talking big money politics here, and I think we've seen some reverberations from this already with Terry McAuliffe being in the race.
Amazing. That's the number seven political news story of 2008 here in Virginia is Terry McAuliffe. And I love your first line, Chris, where you write, who knew he even lived here?
Yeah, who even knew he lived here until he's running for governor? I guess that must mean he's got residence here, right?
Number six.
Number six, you know, and this is another one that would be much higher on the list. Perry Yellow defeats Goud.
Yep.
This made the top 10 list for Politico top upsets of the year in 2008.
Yeah, one of the top 10 upsets of 2008,
yeah. Yeah, and it's right here in our backyard. Tom, you know, I know I kept up with the race. Where we live in Waynesboro, we're only about 2 miles from the district line between the 6th and 5th districts. So we covered that race. We know we have a lot of readers in the Charlottesville and Nelson and Albemarle areas. So we kept up with that race pretty closely. And, you know, for a while there, I was wondering if it was worth my time. I mean, in mid-August, he was losing by 35 points. As he said, you know, later, he's losing by 5 touchdowns in mid-August. You know, a poll in early October brought him within 8, so he's near a touchdown down. You know, he cited to me a little later on that he was down by a field goal going into Election Day. I never saw those polls, but you know, I think it was still even for the most liberal and most democratic of people out there, it was a stretch to think he was actually going to beat Virgil Goud, a long-term incumbent whose father also represented that, you know, the district so well in his own political career. And you know, this has got to be. I mean, you know, I think it was a little low on the list of congressional upsets, to be honest, on Politico's list. This is the biggest one, I think, because Virgil Goud, I mean, they brought up, the Politico story brought up a couple of things about, you know, his controversial comments about the Minnesota congressman who took the pledge on the Koran and a couple of things, but that was old news. There were no scandals. He didn't call anybody macaca. You know, Perry Yellow just went and outworked him, and that's how he won this race.
Yeah, we talked to Dave Wasserman, who's the House editor at the Cook Political Report, and it's Dave's job to track all the House races throughout the country. And we had Dave on after the election, and I asked him about that, about where would that rank on your list of upsets, and he said that is definitely number one. That is the number one biggest upset, political upset of 2008, is Perry Yellow defeats Goud, because who in their right mind would have thought, besides Tom Perriello and his team, that they could actually have beaten Goud in the 5th District?
And I'm not even sure if they would have thought in their right mind of minds that they could have done that. You know, again, he didn't call somebody macaca. He didn't get indicted for 7 felonies, you know, like the senator up in Alaska, Ted Stevens. I mean, you know, this was a straight-up win. This was just, you know, capturing the changing sentiment of a district that, was gerrymandered a few years ago for this purpose, for which was for reelecting Republicans to the seat. This is just outworking somebody and being there and striking when the iron was hot.
Yeah, and I will tell you, Chris, before we go to number five, at the debate in Danville, I literally saw people right in front of me take off Goud stickers and put on Perriello stickers.
Gosh.
Because it was just, he just out-debated him. I mean, you couldn't, they were so starkly different. There was such a contrast drawn in those debates that you couldn't sit there and not see that, even as a Goud supporter. It was really interesting. The number five top political news story from Virginia in 2008.
We hinted at this a couple minutes ago, McDonnell and Bowling. And I'm saying McDonnell and Bowling avoiding the mistakes of 2001. 2001, heading into that year, Republicans had a sitting lieutenant governor in John Hager, a sitting attorney general in Mark Early. When one team has two guys ready to vie for that top spot, it's tough. In Virginia politics, of course, governors can't run for re-election, so it leaves, you know, naturally that other statewide officials have maybe the first dibs at that. When you have two people competing for one spot, it can be divisive, and I thought that year that the divisiveness between Hager and Early might have led, either facilitated or even led to the victory of Mark Warner, which, of course, has turned everything around Virginia politics this decade since. I think McDonnell and Bowling have learned the lesson from that. They got together earlier this year and made a gentleman's agreement that McDonnell would run for governor in 2009. Bowling would stay put and run for lieutenant governor in 2009. You know, he would look ahead maybe to 2013 and keep a united party that, at least in conventional wisdom, should have been, it might still be the favorite heading into 2009 in this next gubernatorial race, even though a Rasmussen Reports poll showed Brian Moran and Cree Deeds running either neck and neck or a little bit ahead of McDonnell heading into next year. I think this is the best shot they have, is to have a unified ticket going into 2009.
And Chris, we're talking with Chris Graham of the Augusta Free Press. I want to tell you, I'm so glad that this made your list, because I totally agree with you. I think as challenged as the Virginia GOP is right now, and they are, let's admit it, this is one of their greatest assets, is the fact that McDonnell and Bowling are totally on the same page. And they're not competing for the gubernatorial nomination. Bowling very graciously said, I'm going to run for lieutenant governor again. I'm not going to run against Bob McDonnell, the current AG, for the governor's nomination. We're going to run together as a unified ticket. We're going to run strong. We're on the same page. We're together on all the issues. That is really going to be a boon and a very strong point for the Republicans in 2009.
Oh, and plus, if you have to choose, I'll say I think McDonnell is the stronger of the two candidates to run this time around as well. I think he's a very polished candidate. He'll raise money well. He has bona fides in the social conservative movement. Bill Bowling, he will probably be a favorite running for lieutenant governor again for his reelection in 2009. But I just think when you're talking about the top spot, if he had to choose between those two candidates, I think McDonnell is their best bet. So, you know, not only does it work out and keep them unified, but they did put probably their best candidate forward in this arrangement.
Yeah, and McDonnell is going to be – that's going to be a very tough race to call, no matter who gets the nomination on the Democratic side. And that's going to be fun to watch, all three of them battling it out for the nomination – Deeds and Moran and McAuliffe, but McDonald's going to be tough to beat.
He's going to be tough to beat. He's going to be very organized. Again, he's going to have that support of conservatives. Probably the fiscal conservatives will come around to his side too. And plus, they have a lot to prove. You know, they've lost the last several statewide elections at this point. Now we're in 2000 and heading into 2009. They haven't really won a significant statewide election since before 2001. I know they won the two down-ticket races, which led to Bowling and McDonald being in the place they are right now. But, you know, they've lost the Senate races. They've lost the governor's races. So they have a lot to prove. Plus, they lost the presidency, which we'll talk about a little later here. Right now, the pressure's on them, but there's maybe even more pressure on Democrats, because Democrats have done so well. And they've had great candidates, and, you know, they have to go through this whole process again. So, I think that Republicans are probably well-positioned, actually, this time coming up for this next election cycle.
And now number four, the number four political news story of Virginia in 2008.
Yet another story that would be much higher on a list in a different year, Tim Kaine, our governor, being a finalist in the VP search for Barack Obama in this case. Virginia has not been a major player on the national political stage for a long time. Mark Warner briefly flirted with a run at the Democratic nomination back in 2006. I think Doug Wilder in the early 90s had also made a very brief foray into that presidential race. But it's been a long time since Virginia's been at all a major player. And Tim Kaine was, you know, right there to the very, very end as far as being a candidate for that vice presidential nomination. And some people's minds, he would have been the best candidate there. And so for Tim Kaine to have been there is a good sign for Virginia, big news for Virginia. And also, you know, there's some bad news for Tim Kaine now, because you mentioned earlier two Democratic senators. There's really no opportunity for advancement for Tim Kaine at this point, unless, you know, Jim Webb were to decide to step down or, you know, eventually get an appointment to a cabinet spot, or if Tim Kaine himself were to get an appointment to a cabinet spot once his term is up. Pretty much his future is blocked at this point. So
I've heard president of VCU.
I've heard that he's, I've talked with people who are close to him who say that he wouldn't be disappointed at all to be the president of VCU or another college or university in the state of Virginia, that he's actually, he would consider that an honor to take one of those jobs. I still don't think, as young as he is, that we're done quite yet hearing of him in a political context, but there are worse things to do in the meantime.
Number three, the third political news story of Virginia, 2008.
Well, I call it the best thing to happen to the Virginia Democratic Party in a long time. It's Jeff Frederick being named the chairman of the Republican Party of Virginia. And since then, there have been a lot of missteps on his part, and the party actually just recently at their advance earlier this month, there was talk of maybe deposing him just a few months into his reign. He took over for John Hager, who had been leading the party for the past couple of years and, you know, promising to move it in a much more conservative direction. He had some dust-ups with the McCain campaign. Also, the famous incident where he invited a reporter from Time to go to a rally that he was leading to, you know, get the troops ready for some door-to-door efforts. And then he compared Barack Obama to Osama bin Laden. It's been an interesting year for Jeff Frederick, an interesting year for Republicans, and it doesn't look like it's going to get any easier for them. I think he had talked originally when he got the RPV job that he was not going to run for re-election. Now there's indications, at least some indications, he might be interested in running for re-election to the House of Delegates. He's an interesting case.
We're talking with Chris Graham of the Augusta Free Press, the number two Virginia political news story of 2008.
The shortfall, and this might rise to a higher number next year if it's possible, yeah, even with all the other stuff on the agenda next year.
We got no money.
Got no money. $3 billion shortfall, about $1.5 billion a year. We're talking about 5-6% of our budget. K-12 education even on the cutting blocks. That's big news in Virginia when we're talking about education. There's no transportation solution imminent because we don't have any money. This is going to drive everything. It's going to drive the General Assembly session, obviously, for the next few months, and then that itself. House delegates races are up. All those statewide races, I think we're going to hear a lot about this shortfall in the context of politics in 2009.
Absolutely. And Chris Graham of the Augusta Free Press, your number one Virginia political news story of 2008.
Well, this was the obvious one, easiest one to slot. Obama turned Virginia blue. First time in 44 years that a Democrat wins the Virginia electoral votes for the White House, and he did so in convincing fashion. I mean, the polls had him winning as we were heading into Election Day, anywhere from 2 to 4 to 6 points. He wins by 6. He won on the outlier of those polls. He won Northern Virginia. He did better out in our part of the state, in the western, Western Virginia, the Shenandoah Valley. He opened 50 campaign offices across the state, poured millions into TV advertising, and the door-to-door efforts. I've talked with Virginia Democrats up and down the roster since the election, and every one of them has told me that he, Barack Obama, and his staff has taught us in Virginia how it's supposed to be done. And that's for a liberal senator from Illinois, that's not a bad thing to say.
Yeah, political scientists are going to be studying this for a long time. How exactly did he put this team together, this national team together? Because it really was stunning.
And it seemed like such a waste when you're hearing back in May and June, hey, he's gonna try to win Virginia. Barack, it might be better for you to spend your time and money elsewhere.
Don't waste your money
here for a while.
And that's what Democrats had done for so long. Every 4 years, it was like, don't go to Virginia. Virginia always goes red. And actually, credit Howard Dean. Howard Dean, the 50-state strategy. He said, yes, No, we're going to play hard in all 50 states.
And not only did the Obama team put resources into Virginia generally, they didn't just concentrate them in the Crescent in Northern Virginia, Richmond, Hampton Roads. They had an office out here in Stanton, just down the road from me.
Yeah.
They had a staff person assigned to Waynesboro. So, they did a 50-state strategy within Virginia as well.
Chris Graham with the Augusta Free Press. You can learn more online at AugustaFreePress.com. Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, Coy.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit seavillepodcast.com for more.